CliffCentral.com. Welcome to it. Welcome to it. You are tuned in to the Youth Leadership Platform on Cliff Central, brought to you by Student Brands in association with Leadership Platform. And with me today, I have Lee STK, who is a female rapper who fell in love with hip hop and rapping pretty much from 2002, and from 2003 she was already doing battles, and she was out in the streets rapping her lungs out. Welcome to the studio, Lee.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So pretty much I want us to give our viewers pretty much a background on who Lee is and mm-hmm. what Lee has done in the short period of time before we move on to what Lee is doing now.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lee STK. I'm a rapper. I've been rapping for like 14 years now. I've been doing mafioso rap. I worked on an album, but I'm going to get to that at the end. I worked with a lot of people, but mm-hmm. cyphers, rap battles. I started to freestyle in middle school, actually in high school, but I still freestyled more than I wrote, because it's one of those bad habits, you know, that die hard. Mm-hmm. So I went to Mafi Gang to work at Art and Culture, and then I started to freestyle, but I still felt like I wasn't really getting to where I wanted to be. So I moved to Pretoria. That's when I started to battle with the guys. But it wasn't really about me killing the guys. You know, it was about me equipping myself, you know, with the knowledge about the industry and having to perfect my lyrical content and my flow. But I had to go back home. So I went home. I met my manager in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
After that, a year later, I met with Kagiso Gaulesidi. He's a CEO of Gaulebale Entertainment. Okay. And then a year later, I got signed to Gaulebale Entertainment.
Wow.
I released a couple of, you know, unofficial singles.
Yes.
And then this August, I released Azisha. You're going to hear about it very soon. I released Azisha featuring Lil P and Gaulebale Entertainment.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a female rapper, you know, hip-hop is a male-dominant genre, mm-hmm. So to speak. And when you started out in hip-hop, what was going on in your mind now entering this, you know, stereotypically, it's a male genre?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really about rap. It was just me having fun with the boys, you know, because I've always been friends with male than with females. So I was just having fun, and that love grew, you know, from me just having fun to like, I really want to do this. And I started out with poetry. So it went from poetry to rapping. And it's just one of those things that help you as a person. So it became like my day diary. So each and every time I would go through something, I would just freestyle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even though it's a male-dominant industry, I still feel that as women, we have that right to claim it. Like, we want to do this, though it's male-dominant. But we still go to men like, you know, I don't understand 1, 2, 3, so can you help me with that, you know? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and what are some of the challenges starting out as a female rapper did you face?
You know what? The problem with being a female in this industry is that you get to be, they put you in a box. Like, you have to rap like this, you have to dress like this, you have to be like this. And to me, lyrical content is very important. So when you freestyle with guys, you're not allowed, because you're a girl, you can freestyle, you can battle with the boys. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It was always difficult to do that. But for me, it was fun, because I didn't listen. If you don't want me to rap, you don't want to listen, I will make you listen. I have to make you listen.
One way or the other.
One way or the other, you're going to listen.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've turned poetry into rapping, which
yes.
pretty much is, you know, I think the borderline message that a lot of rappers get their source of inspiration from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They most of them start off in poetry. So who are some of your influences when you were writing poetry? Because that's where it started.
I wouldn't say I had like inspirations, because to me it was just me writing. You know, it wasn't just poetry. I realized that when I was older, like, am I a poet? Like, it was confusing. But I won't say that I had people that inspired me to do that. But at the later stage, I will say Lauryn Hill was always that person. You understand?
Right.
And Eminem was there, but he wasn't poetic. He was too lyrical.
Yeah.
So I got to learn that from, you know, two people that are so iconic. you know, so it's fun.
So in 2016, you know, fast forwarding from when you started rapping to now, you said you've released a couple of tracks, and pretty much I think we would like to understand what is the inspiration behind pretty much your writing as a rapper. You know, because for certain people, like Eminem, in some of the songs you can tell that maybe he had been going through struggles at the time, and he's penned his struggles down. Some rise to stardom and they get a taste pretty much of luxurious lives, and they pen that down, you know. But for you, what's your inspiration in writing?
I would say my life, and I would say everything around me. It would be nature, like whenever I see a smile, I can make a line out of that. You understand me? So each and every single thing that happens around me in my life, the pain that I go through, I have to write about that. I have to share that. That's how I feel. But one thing I should tell you, my album, you will not understand. You will still, you're going to ask yourself, what does he do? Because it has loads of lyrics. You know, it has, pardon me, it has loads of genres in it.
Okay.
Yes. So I would say everything around me, be it fun, partying, happiness, like everything inspires me. I won't say a particular thing inspires me, just everything inspires me.
Wow.
I hope I answered you.
That is, I think, you know, pretty much for any writer, I also often look at things and I start wandering off, and I could pretty much pin that into something, I beg your pardon. Yeah. And so how did the signing into Gau le Bali, did I get that right?
You did.
Yes. Come about. Because here you are, you are in the streets, you fell in love with hip-hop, you started writing poetry, turned the poetry into rapping, and you started now battling people, right? Using rap, pretty much. And now, how do you end up with Gau le Bali Productions?
Okay, that's a very beautiful story. I met my manager on Facebook. I posted a status about me battling with a guy and killing him. And then we met. So him and the CEO, they are friends. So we met through that, because they used to sing back in the days, their days. So he started his own record label to sign me, because he saw potential in me. And it was like, you know what, we're going to do that. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to help you achieve your dream, because I can see that you got something in you. So that's how I think Gau le Bali was started.
And how did that make you feel, that here's somebody that sees potential in you and wants to help you materialize into the rapper that you've always wanted to be?
It made me happy, and it made me believe more that God, there is God.
Okay.
Because after so many years, you know, struggling to do what I love to do, there's this old man that sees potential in me, and he's willing to risk everything for this little girl that he doesn't know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me believe more that there is God and there are good people out there, because he saw something that other people failed to see. He saw that, and he said, I'm going to invest my time and my money into that girl. So he saw something that...
Whew. Wow. And you know we're very privileged to have the man in the room with us, and we're going to switch things up a bit, and we're going to rope you in, sir. And
yes, sir.
Please introduce yourself and pretty much right on what we have been talking about with Lee STK, as to you seeing potential and how pretty much you came to the decision of signing her and what you saw in her.
Okay. My name is Thabiso Modupi. I went to school in Mafikeng, but then they knew me as Ariel Modupi.
Okay.
I think in 2014, she posted a status on Facebook, and I kind of like, she wrote something that was a little bit wrong in English.
Okay.
And then I corrected, but I didn't even know her. That's where then we started to talk to each other. And then I insisted on meeting her, because she said, no, she could rap, and I said, no, I don't believe so. Then I went to meet her at a village called Bethel. It's nearer to Mafikeng. I think she read for less than 30 seconds, and I said, no, this lady can rap.
Wow.
That's pretty much the whole story. And I think the whole second day, we depend on a lyric somewhere, a song. She freestyled and she was doing drag on that song.
Mm-hmm.
So she did something different from, you know, what.
And what I was she already
more,
does.
I was even more impressed. And then, fortunately, I had a friend from middle school. We went to school. His name is Kagiso Khalisitwe.
Mm-hmm.
He happens to be the owner of News Cafe Newtown. So I grew up with him. We were about 13 years old. We stayed in the same room until we finished high school. So we've been friends. I slept at his mom's house for many years, even up to now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came with Lee to him, he said, no, you know, we could do something about this. Let me open a record label so that we can push her forward. And I said, why not? He's my brother, you know. I wouldn't do things to him. He wouldn't do things to me.
Wow.
Yeah, so
and
that's
and
it.
So with the potential now that you've seen in Lee,
yes.
What were some of the plans that you had on the spot that, okay, we're going to open up a record label,
yes,
and we're going to sign Lee as our first artist pretty much, and we're going to work with her. And what plans did you have for her career?
The plans for her career was that the thing is, she, because we come from the Northwest, people have to have this confusion about when you come from Northwest, you have to be a Motswako rapper.
Mm.
Now, meaning you have to rap in Tswana before you can do other things. And then, but now, because she didn't do any rap in Tswana, she was purely a rapper's rapper.
Okay.
So I said, no, why can't we take a risk and do this? But last day, I did a video for her. I spent a lot of some cash on her, but I could see I was not getting where I wanted to go because I was based in Northwest.
Yeah.
And opportunities there at that side are very, very limited. That's why then I came to Joburg and we met with my friend. And my friend said, no, Tavi, so let me do this the correct way. What would you need from me? Then I gave him the blueprint of what we can do to move, you know, my career forward. And then he opened the record company and it's been bliss ever since.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So now you signed Lee STK, your first record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going through your mind now at the time?
I was happy. Like I said, I was really happy, over the moon, because I felt like I felt like it's been raining and now I have an umbrella, so I'm safe.
Wow.
That's how I felt.
Okay.
I couldn't really find the words. So I felt safe that, like, I'm here and I got this. That means it's going to happen. And now it's happening. You understand?
Yes, 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 absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And so you went on to pin more music down and the rapping continues.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote on many, many songs, one of which was Azishe.
Mm-hmm.
How has been the reception for the songs that you've written?
Wow, Azishe has been well received, I'm not going to lie. Because it's a beautiful song, so it has been really well received and the people are supporting, so that means that we did a great job in that, but we have to move on from there. And then there's Chila, there's Money, and there's Freedom to Rap, so there are other songs, so we're not going to disappoint.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the plans going forward quickly?
The plans on Thursday, I have a listening session at News Cafe Newtown.
Okay.
It's going to start at 7. I'll be doing my songs, Chila, Money, Azishe, Freedom to Rap. A lot of songs, really, from my album. I'm releasing, and it's going to be like an album release, but not really a listening session.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, for my album.
Great, great. And what's your message for other female rappers that want to get into the game?
Never forget to spit, because they have to take you serious. So if you rap like they, like you're a woman, like I'm scared, they're not going to take you serious. So take yourself serious and rap. Rap your lungs out, because sometimes you will never know who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you do, make sure that you do it to
the best way you can.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much, and we'll be looking forward to hearing more from you. And how do we get in touch with you on social media?
On Facebook is Lee STK.
Mm-hmm.
And on Twitter is at Lee STK.
Mm-hmm.
_za, and then on Instagram is Lee STK. Mm-hmm.
Great. We have Chila about to play us. Let's do this. Let's listen to your rap. Let's listen to your rap, Lee. You're still tuned in to the Youth Leadership Platform on Cliff Central, brought to you by Student Brands and Leadership Platform. And you are still listening to myself, Bongani, as your host. Now we're crossing over all the way to the top parts of Africa, and we're going to speak to a man of many accolades. He's won tons of awards, and he's pretty much a sensation. And his name is Wex Day. Wex Day, how's it, man?
Hey, I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
It's great to have
and
you
to
on
all the
show,
listeners.
Man. It's great to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, all the way in SA. I'm actually coming to SA sometime this weekend. So,
oh yeah, lovely, lovely.
It's lovely to have a precursor to that. Yeah,
lovely, lovely, man. So, you are a highly celebrated African musician, and pretty much the continent appreciates your music. And I was watching your music video with Nasty C the other day. And you know, I was very impressed. It's a very great song and a well shot music video as well. But before we even go to that, let's get to know Wex Day. Who is Wex Day?
Okay, my name is a Cameroon artist, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I was born in Cameroon. My real name is actually Ndeye Ntifonka. But I went to school in Cameroon, Central Africa. That is, did a first degree in law, and then moved to South Africa to study a master's degree at Wits University. So I'm a Witsy, yeah. and then from there, I started, playing around with the guitar, mostly to pay my bills. I started playing at birthday parties, and then one thing led to the next. I remember at some point I was seen playing somewhere by someone that invited me to meet a friend of his, who then invited me to the awesome African Music Festival in Durban. Mm-hmm. And there I met Dito Baloyi, the late Dito Baloyi of Tanana's fame, who, invited me to record an album with him. But that's just when he was viciously murdered, unfortunately. But then I decided to go ahead and record myself, and then that was the beginning of my musical journey. I recorded my first album, Alligator's Arms, in 2005, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm in SA, and since then I think I've been able to practice, music in SA, in Nigeria, back home in Cameroon. But most importantly, I think it's just been my ability to move into other things, using music, whether it's in, social innovation, whether it's in activism, humanitarian work, and a host of other, initiatives that I've been able to do with music as a platform for that. I think that's where, my uniqueness as an artist and as a person is most greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And, before we get even into the music, you've had some incredible collaborations with different companies doing different initiatives on pretty much the African continent.
Yeah.
Can you run us through that?
Well, I obviously, because of the fact that I grew up in Central Africa, mm-hmm. In Cameroon, which is very close to Nigeria as well in terms of its culture, and especially the part where I'm coming from, the Anglophone part. But then I, really started off professionally in South Africa. I think I've always viewed myself as a child of the continent. Unfortunately, the continent has accepted me as such. Back in 2006 in SA, I started what is known as the Human Trafficking Awareness Week. Mm-hmm. That was really an initiative that I started with the loan from the bank that a friend of mine gave me. And today it's become an annual event that is led by the National Prosecuting Authority. But that was permitted to work with the United Nations, with the government of South Africa. But, when the xenophobic attacks broke out in Johannesburg in 2008, I was called up by the city of Johannesburg to work as a brand ambassador to, show the positive impact on Johannesburg on the lives of immigrants, mm-hmm. a role which I played with lots of satisfaction. But through that, I've been able to, beyond that, I've been able to work with the United Nations, with the One Campaign on, big causes such as fighting poverty, promoting agriculture across the continent. Getting together artists, whether it was back in 2014 for the One Campaign, 19 African artists to, run a big, probably the biggest sensitization campaign across the continent so far to promote agriculture. in celebration of the African Union Year of Agriculture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a host of things, you know, and I think that, as I said, the sum of, you know, all these collaborations with these organizations, Save the Children, for example, I did a project with them on, you know, using music as a tool for, you know, child development. And I work with the UN, UNHCR, UN Commission for High Commissioner for Refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Together with Kalawa Jasmine, on you know, a project called My Brother's Keeper,
yes,
where we got Stone Sita and Zonke, you know, to do a song and you know, run some, you know, grassroots projects.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, this is some of the initiatives that, you know, I've been able to, you know, come up with as a strategist, but also just, you know, use, you know, my experience and, you know, in the music industry and the collaborations that that exist with, you know, collaborations and contacts with some of the big organizations across the continent and the world, you know, to hopefully, you know, and I think we're making an impact on people's lives, whether it's been in South Africa, in Cameroon, Nigeria, in other parts
any
of
parts
Africa.
Of Africa.
The world. Yeah.
Yeah. That must be very, very fulfilling to have done so many things. And, you know, with that said, I guess it's safe to say that you're a man of many talents.
I would say that. I mean, like, yes, I would say that. In fact, you know, my first check in South Africa actually came from writing a story for a drum magazine. I got paid 500 rand. Yeah. And I think I used that to buy my guitar, which I started performing with. So
wow.
I think it's all, yeah, there are lots of things going to it. You know, I have a book called The Chosen One, which was used to teach grade 11 English in South African public schools. You know, I've been a TV presenter on African Magic. You know, I've appeared on Generations, the Soapy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I run my own reality TV show in Cameroon now, and you know, I'm releasing albums, you know, collaborating with top artists across the, you know, the continent. Nasty C in SA, Yemi Alade in Nigeria.
That's
so yes, mm-hmm. I guess you're right to say I'm a man of many, many talents, but also I think also, you know, putting these talents to use whenever I can and having a fulfilling life out of that. Yeah.
And what was the inspiration behind you working with all these artists? Some of which are your Yemi Alade, your Nasty C, your Casper Nyovest, to name a few.
Yeah. So I happen to one of the people that have traveled a lot across the continent and done lots of, you know, collaborations for social purposes. So, you know, my work with the United Nations and with other organizations has permitted me to work with Dibanj, for example,
mm-hmm.
Working with Yvonne Shaka Shaka when we did the Africa Day concert in 2010. And you know, getting across to Kenan, you know, during the World Cup when I opened for him, in his show in Durban, and things like that. And I think that, you know, having exposed to so many different cultures, but not just from a perspective of listening to the music, actually being part, you know, of a production process with some of these artists, actually gave me the desire to go back and do a project that encompassed my experiences of African music. So that if somebody's sitting anywhere in the world and really wants to have an experience of what is urban music in Africa right now, you could have one album that you can pick up and say, hey, this is one person that, you know, tries to touch these people in a very valid way. Not just, you know, a Cameroon trying to play, for example, South African mm-hmm. house music. But you actually get a real feel of the real authentic house music with all the lows and things that, you know, that make it what it is. And that is how, you know, that was my inspiration really to get together with all these artists, because it's not something I could do on my own. I had to go back and dig into those, you know, those contacts that made mm-hmm. me work in doing all these projects, you know,
wow.
And fortunately, you know, a lot of them have responded. Yes, they're glad to work with me on it. And so, yeah, I did the album 360 Degrees, which has, you know, I think 15 collaborations, 15 artists collaborating on it with me. Across the continent, and really just the top, you know, top talents from the continent as well. So I feel really privileged and really blessed to have had the opportunity to do those things. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you very much, man. You know, we've learned a lot from you, and I think with a lot of our artists as well can use a lot of your strategies in terms of pretty much things that you've done to not only become an established artist, but to also give back, which is a great thing, you know, to let it ripple and pay it forward. Thank you so much, Wex, for coming through to the show, and we'll be anticipating your material and we'll be happy to consume it. Playing us out
awesome.
Will be your 360 Degrees featuring Nasty C to our
yeah,
viewers at home.
Right.
To our viewers at home, thank you very much for tuning in to the Youth Leadership Platform on Leadership Platform in association with Student Brands. CliffCentral.com.